ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, you're tuned in to wonderful Anthony, and you're tuned in to Update, the show about all things technology. So thanks for coming on in again this fine Saturday morning. It's pretty warm out there, I have to tell you. And so today, yep, we're back in, back in the studio. The studio's open, which is nice. So wasn't totally sure because of the lockdown what's been going on. So it's not my regular show, but it's sort of prefer this because I can get to sort of go to topics that aren't always talked about in technology and things. So that's kind of fun. So as my show, it's a little bit ad hoc, but it's going to be an interesting one. Update. And if you want, again, you can listen on the previous week's podcasts, and you can go to the forum, ask any technology questions, and the website for that is simply update.chat. So simply go to update.chat, and you can see the last week's podcast, and you can also send us a message through that website. Any tech questions you have, concepts on computers, or even just problems with your computer, give us a call, or give us an email rather. Email is hello@update.chat. So yeah, again, thanks for coming on in. It's like I say, another Saturday, another day to sit down in your house and turn the radio on and learn about technology. So that's always useful. And just give yourself a couple of minutes to get yourself comfortable there so you can get your nice coffee, everybody. Listen into the big technology show. Send out your tweets to let your friends know to tune on in. 104.6 Planet FM on FM radio, or you can stream on planetaudio.org.nz/update, and you can stream that, or you can get us on the good old wireless right at the end of the radio band there. So that's quite cool. So yep, so it's going to be a bit of a fun show, and today we're going to go into today there's going to be a couple of topics. I'm going to update you what's going on with some big tech. People probably haven't known because it's so much happening this year, but Apple are making some big changes to their hardware. Excuse me. And I'll update you on that and different things like that. So, yeah. So let's get tuned in for our... we always go for a little bit of the old news to start the day, and then we'll get straight into it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, what's been going on in the world of technology lately? Okay, so basically the first thing is to let my listeners know is Apple, obviously, hit $2 trillion as valuation in their stocks, which is pretty large. Now, excuse me, it's not COVID, don't worry. So what's been going on? So basically Apple have, for years and years, they've been using a standard... manufacturer to create their chip inside their computer called the CPU, this central processing unit, by Intel. So back in the 90s, Apple sort of was with a company called Motorola to make their microchips, and Windows, or PCs, as many people would know them, has used a company called Intel, which is the world's biggest CPU manufacturers. So that's where you get your i5 and your i7 and i8, i9. Anyway, Apple have been using Intel since about 2005. And today, well, this year, they are now going back to making their own CPUs. And they're going with a company to basically partner with, and that's called Arm. So that's where you might remember Arm back in your calculators a long time ago, but they're in there with a lot of mobile phones. So, yeah, a bit of controversy about Apple going away from that. There's a lot of positives and negatives. They will allow their chips to be custom to what they make. So, yes, that's going to be quite a big change. It does mean that there'll be a whole new software because the Intel software won't natively run on an ARM chip. It will have to have what's called an emulator layer. So, yeah, that's quite interesting. Talking about companies going to their own hardware and software, Huawei, which basically Donald Trump told them or Google not to deal with them, and that's pretty bad. And so Huawei has created their own operating system. So they're about to launch onto their own version of Android or their own competition to Android. And that's basically because Google was stopped from working with Huawei. So, yeah, so that's sort of... excuse me. It's just getting up early this morning. Basically, the other thing about Apple is they're getting back into augmented reality. And that's happening in the tech world. It's been a sort of a fight in the tech world between AR and VR. And, I mean, I always put my money behind AR, and it looks like it is definitely winning. And AR is what's called augmented reality. So back sort of 5-6 years ago, people were getting excited sort of with this idea you stick goggles on your head and you could sort of walk around a room. And sort of some companies went down that route. Apple stayed away from that. They went into what's called augmented reality. And that's where you can sort of, for example, hold your phone up to a real-life object, and the real-life object, and it will give you information about that real-life object. So it's augmenting reality. So, yeah, a lot of innovation going on there. Excuse me. Okay, so, yeah. So that's sort of your, well, there's a lot of tech news. TikTok's still up for sale. Apparently Russia, China, and Iran has been hacking the U.S. voting system, but I think that's probably what's going on. Doesn't, you know. Because we don't hear about it. Yeah, so, and one of the other things I thought was quite interesting, not really tech news, but it sort of was David, in YouTube the other day, there's a guy, I'm just got to bring up his name here, David Blaine, and he's a American man. David Blaine, if that name sounds a little bit familiar, he's a magician. So he hasn't been on the scenes for a while, but he was quite a famous magician, you know, doing your crazy, you know, jump off a building and disappear things. David Blaine, anyway, so he teamed up with Google. And if those missed it, he went into the Arizona desert, a little town called Page. I've actually been there myself. And he put a whole lot of hot air balloons on. Didn't wear a parachute, just held on to these hot air balloons. He had a safety harness, but it was hidden. And the hot air balloons took him up to something like 25,000 feet. Pretty cool. And so those who want to watch it, it's YouTube, and it's pretty fun, actually. a lot of technology to make sure it's safe, and quite inspiring. So that's pretty much it. So let's get into the show for today, eh? Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, look, again, you've got Anthony. So my background is sort of IT and technology in a fairly big way. And this show, just for those who are sort of finding it now, it's demystifying technology, but also bringing you some sort of interesting insights into the computer age or computer world. And also, if you send me an email at hello@update.chat, I can answer your problems you're having with your computer, or go to update.chat. If you've got specific things you want to know about your computer or things that have gone wrong, I might be able to get to them. Also, if you have subject matters you want me to sort of go into, I can do that. Well, sort of COVID's on, it's going to be I can't have really guests, and it's going to be not a smooth as I'd want it. But just a sec, just going to bring this down here. Excuse me. So, right, so what's today's show going to be? Wow, this is going to be quite interesting because this is applicable to lots of people. It doesn't mean necessarily mean you're just into computers. And it's to do with, there's a couple of things. Number one, and this is going to be interesting, is how do you come up with a good idea and a good invention? So there you go. So I'm going to be telling you how you actually come up with an idea, people. Now, isn't that strange? How can you tell someone how to come up with an idea? Well, I'm going to go through that. I'm also going to tell you how to basically come up with an invention. And I'm going to, and when I say an idea, an idea and invention, so this is related to technology. So that's that your invention is, I guess in layman's terms, it's some sort of electrical device, if you will. So some sort of gizmo or widget or, you know, a little box that does something. So, you know, the industry sort of nicknamed it widgets. Or it's maybe a software invention, okay? And so that might be a software app does something for people. And now there's obviously either ideas, but that's my speciality, which is the tech space. For example, if you came up with an idea on how to make your cat run faster, I wouldn't be involved with that, but... Yeah, so, excuse me about this, I need a water. So when it comes to the invention space, and so what I'm going to go into is, number one, how do you bloomin' come up with an idea? Which, you know, some people say is the hardest part. Don't think it is. The second thing is how to execute that bloody idea. How do you get that idea to market? And number three, how do you get bloomin' money in your pocket? Real money, not a wish or a hope or a dream. But money in your pocket from that idea, and how do you do that in a New Zealand context? Okay, so this is not a bad little show, I reckon, because it's something we don't want to talk about, and it's sort of there's no easy solution that's you can follow a blog on this, and this comes from quite frankly experience, and not just my own experience, but friends' experiences too. So one is the idea coming up with. Number two is how to go about executing that idea. This is in a New Zealand context. So who am I talking to today? I'm talking to people who are probably self-employed and maybe their current line of business isn't so fantastic. That's number one. So that's I'm talking to you. So quick, tell your other friends if you know anyone like that. Tune on in. Grab a coffee. Number two, I'm talking to people who are running small businesses who have lots of good talented staff, but they don't want to let them go. So how do you come up with a solution for them? And number three, people who are appointed in the corporate sector who have the means and power to execute on a big idea. So that's you as well. So all three of you, so let me, and I know what radio is like, you probably just quickly heard this while you're running to the kitchen, so get yourself comfortable, and tell your friends if you know anyone who's interested in sort of the development of ideas and products, and how one will go about that. So, excuse me again. So, where do we go? Okay, so let's get that context down again. You can even write this down if you want. So we got the how do you come up with a blooming idea? Second part of that is how do you know that it's a good idea? And number three is how do you execute that? Okay. And number three, of course, is how do you make money from that? Okay. And I think we're too scared to teach this in school, in my mind. Sort of think that ideas sort of just come and fall from the sky and sort of hit us in the face, you know, hoping we're having a cup of tea and they just, you know, come and punch us in the face. But actually, no. I truly believe you can educate people to have ideas. That's one. And two is, if we know how to execute an idea in the technology world, because when I started, I used to do inventions as a kid and write them all down and draw them in my drawer, and I had no idea. And I didn't even know what the word patent meant. I didn't even know there was such a thing. It wasn't, and this is a difficulty. It's not knowing what you don't know. So you don't even know that you don't know. And so you don't even know where to start. You don't even know what to Google. You don't sort of go in, oh, I've got an idea. Let me, how do I make money out of it? Well, no, you sort of, for a long time, I just, you know, this is the 90s. I had no idea. Unless you sort of have a lawyer friend, and I didn't. So that's a big one. It's how do you know? And so there's patents. And then, of course, what happens with that is it's not just the patent as such, because that sort of gets chucked around, you know, oh, patents. But no, there's a lot more things without a patent you can do. You don't need a patent. And, yeah, so... So how do we come up with an idea? Okay. all right. So let me just get this little bit here. Nice for you people. You don't deserve a lot. Excuse me. Okay. So you got... Yeah, so how do you execute an idea? Of course, that's a really big thing. And, you know, there's the old saying, I think it might have been Thomas Edison, but something about inspiration is 1% or 10%. So you're coming up with the idea really is, unfortunately, the easy part. it's the execution. The engineers, you know, they're the heavy lifters. number one. Let's go straight in. I just want to get some nice background, guys, music, because, you know, it relaxes your mind. Sorry about this. Here we go. So basically what happens with coming up with an idea? Well, there's a couple of things. Number one is if you're coming up with a technology idea, generally... There's a sort of an assumption that the technology is associated because you're already in the tech sphere, but it's not really. I think this is a real misconception. The best ideas come from the people who have got nothing to do with technology. Okay, so this is the big thing. The best technology ideas come from people often without any technology experience, and the reason is technology is just a tool to solve real world problems. And so if you're a fisherman and you're out every day and you just know that there's a problem that's annoying you, your team every day, now what the hard difficulty is you often don't even bother to try to see if there's a solution, because you just think, look, they'll be too hard and where would I start? I don't even know. So the first thing to do, and this is really true, is get yourself a notebook. You've got to get your little notebook, and you've got to have it not on you at all times, because it never will be. It's got to be by your fridge. When you finish your dinner at night, you've got to go down and you've got to write down all the problems of the day that you just got a funny feeling. You don't necessarily need to have an idea, but you have a funny feeling that there could be something around that would solve that. So if you know, if you're a fisherman, you're not into computers, well, you just go, well, look, every day I bloomin' get a hook in my finger, okay? So obviously, you got your nice notebook, you grab your beer, and you just write down, little page, okay, today's date. All of us ended up fish hooks in the finger, real pain in the ass, no quick way to get it out, right? Now, the important thing is it becomes a habit. So ideas flow on top of other ideas. And so once you start observing solutions to the mundane things, you start to see opportunities in the larger things. So now you go, oh, Oh, that would be really good to know when, for example, every time the this particular wave of this height comes across, we always know that we use 20% more fuel. And we've realized that if we, you know, we've seen other boats that have a different shaped front and they don't use as much fuel, we've started to notice that our boat has a, you know, a shallower stern, and therefore, oh, hang on, you start to note that down. Now, this is a good exercise. So this is, you know, I want to introduce this as part of New Zealand's culture, that we start looking for opportunities and do it in the most mundane things, because that's where it starts. You've got to basically, oh, gosh, I'm sick of always having to measure my coffee when I get home, and I never know if the milk is too hot when I, you know, defroth it or whatever. Start writing that down, because what starts to happen is you start to realize later on, maybe a week later, oh, I just saw a little device. It, you know, JCar Electronics or Dick Smith Electronics, or that measures temperature, you know, and you start to put two and two together. But if you haven't started observing the problems, you never get to the point of having the solution or an idea. So that's where ideas come from. There's sort of a process. You've got to start looking at the mundane, and you've got to write them down, people. Okay? And because if you don't write them down, what happens is you all of a sudden forget them, and then one day you have a big idea and you go, oh, I'm going to do this idea. The problem is it probably isn't such a good idea. It will waste you a whole lot of money, but you'll be emotionally attached to it. Your ego will be stuck to it, and you won't be able to give it up. Okay, but if you write them down, there's fun in just having a book of ideas. And then you're always free to sort of go, well, that idea had some sense, but I'll leave it. And then you can put two eyes to get the ideas together and stuff. So, you guys going to do that for me? Get your notebook. You know, every night when you're having your beer or in front of, you know, the project or Top Gear, reruns, you can write down basically, oh, I got some ideas, and or what did I see today basically that was annoying, or, you know, someone needs to solve, you know, the old someone should solve that. Write it down. Okay, so that's what happens. Is, like I say, first of all, it starts with the mundane, you know, how many how to save, I don't know, $1.50 doing something, and then you start noticing bigger ones. So what are some of the bigger ones that you start to see? Okay, so then you start to, yeah, the biggest ones, of course, is, and the biggest thing, and this is what Steve Jobs did in computer science, you don't, whenever you use a technology, and here we go, I'm going to hate on the old education system for a minute. When you use a software app, for example, what we're taught at school is we're taught that this is the solution rather than this is a solution. So often most of us will go home, we'll go, okay, well, I want to write a letter. Okay, well, it's Microsoft Word. And because we've just been taught Microsoft Word at school, we open it up, we all assume that there's one way of processing Word and printing it. It's Microsoft Word, right? So what we do is, instead of thinking this is a solution, we think it is the solution. And what we do in computer science is, if someone's made a product, we assume that they've done it, one, the best way that it can be done, and two, that there is no other way of doing that. And that's a fallacy, and it's a real fallacy of teaching products as solutions, when products are just one company's version of a solution. So, for example, you know, you're using Microsoft Word to type. Well, you know, that is one solution. Or maybe you want to use a, you know, like Google sort of innovated a little bit and said, well, you know, most people just want to do a real basic text. So they give you Google Docs and, you know, it auto saves and you don't need to back up. You know, it's not rocket science, but it's just an improvement for most people. And so when you start to realize that a solution is not the solution, you start to realize in most technology, if you examine it,
you'll see, oh, I could do that better. There's a better way of doing that. And that's where, as a nation, we start going, hang on a minute, there's a huge opportunity here, a massive opportunity in this area of computer science or software or development. I mean, I'm you know, you'd hate living with me because there's not a microchip I don't pick up on a circuit board and go, I don't know if they've got that microchip designed just right. I wonder if they were to pre-cache the data on the input side. Anyway, that's my little world. So, so start with the mundane. You start writing down these ideas of what you think could work. Write them down and then start considering, oh, well, wonder if I could. And here's the thing, don't limit yourself, people. That's really what kills innovation and creativity and ideas, is most people are self-conscious. They just think, oh, I don't even know where to start. I couldn't even do it. And you also don't even think your ideas, even when you write them down, make even sense. But don't stop yourself. So, you know, and be wild. You could say things like, how would I design a car that would also fly? You know, you don't have to assume that you're the one that will make it. Just get to the habit of going, oh, well, maybe I wouldn't have, you know, such big tires. But write it down, because why am I saying write it down, write it down, write it down? Because what happens is you start naturally finding people who are also having their least little box, and you start going to little meetup groups and you start comparing notes, and you realize that a lot of your ideas are actually bloody good, or they inspire someone else's to add to the idea, okay? And that becomes fun. And now the second thing is it takes a bit of patience. You won't be able to execute an idea the day you have it. It will probably be 2 years later, okay, when you get to the point where you can actually do it. Because generally what happens is, so hopefully you're following along here so far. So number two, then you have to divide your ideas, okay? And the way I divide my ideas, and the biggest one is how easy is it to do, okay? That for me is something, as a nation, New Zealand, is probably the biggest thing. We often think, oh, how original is an idea? It's not that important how original something is, you know. Come up with a better mousetrap, paint it pink, big deal. It doesn't need to be, you write down in your book, so once you've scattered them all, go to the middle of the page, and now start writing A-class, B-class ideas. One is the first criteria, how easy is this idea to actually make? Okay, so this is where it gets interesting, because a lot of people won't know. But as a rule of thumb, the smaller the product, the easier it is to make. So that's why, you know, good old Switzerland became so rich, because they went, oh, we'll make a watch. You know, if you say, look, I could probably make a better jumbo jet, I've got a better idea for the wing flaps, well, that's great. But, you know, if you really think you'll make the plane, you're welcome to do that, but you realize that's a bigger idea than making a new toaster. So, small is good. Small is good. That's rule one for good ideas. But then, really, where New Zealand needs to go is the idea an abstract, non-physical idea? That's really where we need to be. So, for example, is your idea a better way of sending data through the internet? That you don't necessarily need to make anything. So when you've got your ideas, write them down, and I would say it goes for three classes of ideas. The ideas that are really difficult to make, which is, I'd like to make a new Hoover Dam on my farm. That's in the big idea stuff, or big product idea. B ideas, that's anything that is, and for this show, anything that's electronic. Okay, and I'm going to give you the secrets to executing electronics as soon as possible. But B ideas are electronics, and they go in your next list. And as a rule of thumb, I always think, you know, if you can carry the product, then that's probably a doable product. That's your, and think of it as probably a electronics product. That's B. C For this show, you can think of it as a software product or an app or website or service or a mathematical algorithmic process for, you know, de-encrypting a JPEG. But that's your C ideas, because ABC. Right. Now, the good thing about software ideas or anything in the intellectual area, the intellectual property as such, they generally don't take a lot of as much resources. You could technically, what you're really looking at is skill. You might not need to import a big machine or, you know, get anything made. You are normally looking at man hours. So I would always say, so these are your three. So this is the idea, you know, getting into your ideas. You write them all down. Then what you do is, obviously, because you've got a big book there, you start, obviously, it won't take long before you start realizing, look, some of these ideas are good. And don't even, and never stop, by the way, filling the front page of part of this book with silly ideas. That's the key. It's not, once you think, oh, I've got one now, I'm finished. The truth is most ideas become better over time anyway. So you're better to just keep writing your silly ideas down the front of the book no matter what. And you'll get to the point where you'll be able to, even though you thought it was good in the beginning, you'll go, hang on, now if I added this idea to it, it's a really good idea. And you've got to get to the point where it really is a bloody good idea. You know, you can't just go, you know, in this world, you can't just have a moderately good idea. It does need to be pretty good. So, you know, you will obviously have your friends once in a while say, no, that won't work. But write them down anyway. So, now, when it comes to the execution, so let's quickly get into the execution part of making your idea. And I might have to get a next show to how to make money out of it. But B, execution. So, as a rule of thumb, like I say, if your idea is in the software space, then you're already got an advantage. Now, first of all, the biggest thing, if you're a budding entrepreneur and you're a freelancer that wants to delve into something, the good thing is right now in 2020, there's nothing that you basically can't do in software that isn't on the internet with someone explaining how to do it, okay, which is a pretty cruel secret. It's the internet of how to do things. It's that first timid step, even if you have no idea, for example, how would I write a telecommunications transport layer and get it into for Vodafone to use and sell it to them? Well, you just got to start by Googling your first thought. You really do, you know. And there takes the long, long process of learning about that technology. And not all software is the same, okay? Not all technology software is the same. So don't think, oh, because your friend knows how to do networking, they'll be any good at doing web development, or your web developer will know anything about how to make a new 3D app. It's really, computers are so big now that you probably, on your first case, have to be the person that finds out the information. Okay, so Googling. Then once you've finished Googling, you will have an idea. And the biggest thing is when you're investigating your idea, this is the part where the irony is you're not getting information back. You're actually getting more questions. So when you want to solve your app for probably 6 months, when you research how to do it, you know, between jobs, between work, you will always be going, ah, that's something else I need to know. Ah, that's something else I don't know about. Ah, pretty much you'll just have maybe 300 or 400 questions a week or a month of more questions about what you're trying to do. So let's say, okay, well, I've got this idea about looking after my neighbor's pets, and I thought I could sort of do a website, and maybe I wanted to send a signal so that if their pets ran away, I would be able to trace them or something. So you start searching tracing. And then you realize there's so much just on tracing, but you just got to start writing all the questions down so you even know what to look for. Okay. Right. This is the time when you, most people, including myself, go, it's too many, too much things to solve. It looks too hard. I'm just going to go home and sit on my couch. It's too scary, you know. I want to know, you know, I don't know anything about making, let's say you're a musician and you want to make your own electric drum machine because you just don't like the way they all sound. Never done electronics, but you know you've got in your heart you could make a better drum machine. By the time you finish Googling what goes into making a drum machine, you'd be like, that's going to take 150,000 years to make. Well, realistically, maybe 100 years. You know, it'd take 10 years to learn one part of it. So you'll normally find people give up at that point. But that's when you need to get your mentor. And we are lucky in New Zealand. We are. We have a bloody good mentor system for any entrepreneurs. And often it's free. And there's a lot of mentors now that are very open to silly ideas. Doesn't matter how dumb it is, because they just want to see you confident enough to step out there. And so go to the mentors. And there's so many options. You know, Work and Income, I believe, have one. There's, you know, you just Google it. Pretty much there will always be some mentor system in your area that they can give you at least 10 minutes of their time, or you know, at least an hour, on where to go. And then, if you're lucky, find a friend. Now, New Zealand used to have a tall poppy syndrome, but I honestly think it's improved a lot. I think we are actually quite encouraging. So most people, yeah, you certainly don't want to take your idea to, you know, that friend that's going to go, oh, you're an idiot, you know. And that happens a lot, obviously. Try to find someone that will go, oh, okay. Maybe an old school teacher or whatever. Just go, oh, look, I've worked out this. And here's the thing. You can't take the idea. Like I say, you write the idea. That's not good enough. You have to have all that 6 months of research you've done on how to execute it. Because otherwise people just go, oh, look, you know, great, dumb idea, good idea. That the idea is almost irrelevant in this day and age. It's, well, I've researched how to make it. I looked at this, I taught this, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so then what happens is you need to decide, really, in my mind, is to make this idea. This is what we normally do. We normally go, you know, I mean, I've met some entrepreneurs, poor guys, a great idea, great big technology, but now all they do is knock on investors' doors hoping their money will just flow in. And that doesn't happen from my experience. The best thing to do is to start going, well, you know, maybe lose your ego and say, well, you know, maybe that idea is too hard right now. Maybe there's one part of it that is doable, one part of it, or go back to your book again, find another one. But what one part of it is doable? So what you do then is you say, well, what resources can I know that I can put on this? And the good thing is if your product is that, well, first of all, so you've come up with this idea, you know, find where the cat goes to eat, where the food it's eating, and why it's so fat. Come up with this idea, you've got this concept, you've learned about what the technology is. Now, there's two things to, one, the digital world, and I'm going to have to run into the next show as well, but in the software world and the digital world, first of all, if you have what we like an app for your mobile device that you think will solve this problem, the good thing about the modern world of software development, for most solutions that you're trying to solve in your day-to-day life, probably what it is actually off-the-shelf parts that a developer can stick together for you. So think of it as, you know, if you are coming up with a new app for your phone, you don't necessarily go, okay, I've got to redesign how to make software. What you can do is think of it as making a cake, but you've come up with a brilliant idea for a better kind of cake, but you're not a chef. So you just need to say blah, 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 blah to any good chef, and the chef would say, oh, we just need this ingredient, this ingredient, this ingredient, and mix it like this, this, and this. To them, it's not that hard. So you do need to try to find a developer generally who knows how to, and this is a big skill, and if they can't do this, smile and walk away. I'm serious. They have to compartmentalize your product. It might be that they don't know how to develop. It could just be someone who's just, you know, a logical thinker or yourself. But your app needs to be compartmentalized, and that is. Okay. And this is a skill set, but most developers can do this. Most people in IT can do this, quite frankly. But if you, whoever you get to help you with your app has to be able to do this. They have to say, well, number one, will I have location services involved with this app? Do I need to know where the app is? Yes. Right. That's a big part of it. B, do I store customers' information in my app? Yes. C, okay, that's another part of it. Three, do I have to have access to some third-party data? You know, like, do I need to know the weather, for example? Three, yes. Then you compartmentalize the third-party weather. Do I need to know, for example, tides? Yes. Do I need to know altitude, where I am, how high I am? Let's say you're making an app for skiing. Yes. Now, what this does is compartmentalizing your app is one of the biggest secrets, God, I'm good to you guys, of getting to the point where your app almost starts to naturally make itself. You go from this is impossible to, oh my God, this is incredible. Once you've compartmentalized your app, you'll say, any good developer at that point, and this is the key, don't go on if they're wearing a shirt and tie. Try to, most of the best developers, if I'm honest, drink a lot of Red Bull and they're really scruffy, but try to get into the circles where you can meet a software developer, okay? They don't have to be great, but just try to get in those circles, you know, meetup groups. Because even if you buy one of them lunch, you know, give them a small amount of money, they'll generally be able to go, look, here's your compartmentalized app. And then you would say, okay, so we need, let's say, altitude data for my app. Well, the most developers would have the skill to go, well, we can simply grab that from Metro, you know, meteorology.org. So because there's third-party data out there, you wouldn't know about this, but they would, or you can just keep on researching it. But that's, all of a sudden it starts to come together. The good point is, once you've got the blueprints, and so when it comes to making an app, by the way, people, children, kids, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about the planning, you know. It's like, you know, people complaining about the City Rail Link taking years to build, but really the hard work is thousands of man hours before the hole's dug. Same with anything in, you know, technology. You're making your app, plan it. What is the app? Where's it going to go? How's it going to work? What is the parts of it? Who are the parts going to connect to? And then you start, basically, so it's definitely a lot of work. But the good thing is at this point, you still haven't gone and mortgaged your house. You haven't gone beating your head against the wall trying to get investors that laugh at you. You've just maybe spent a couple of $100 on, you know, going out socializing, found a developer friend, and you've now got blueprints. And it really is the blueprints, in my experience, that is the power of a good software app. It's your blueprints. Writing it down, compartmentalizing it, drawing it out, okay? B. Now, the good thing is once you've got this to a level, and and it's not my skill set, but women don't realize how good they are at this, I think. A lot of women are not into IT, but they've got a great skill set, because the most important part about IT and software development is labeling things correctly, drawing things nicely, and administration. It's all about having clear, legible language that it's easy to understand. Because you literally are almost making a blueprint for your app. They call it it's not a wireframe, but it's before a wireframe. You draw it out, and if it's, believe it or not, if you can make it bloody presentable enough, you can just go almost now shopping to the industry for the best price to make that app. If you draw it well enough, you will come out amazed at how cheap it is, because the developers will go, yep, standard part, standard configuration, yep, here's, you know, and then they'll just go, well, what's your last quote? Bang. And instead of hundreds of thousands, you're talking, you know, tens of thousands. Okay, so I guess I shouldn't give the secret away, but that's the secret. Having the design, your blueprints made yourself, your own time, labeling them perfectly. And this is, you know, administration is the biggest part of software development, my experience. So you've got to have it all, you know, write this down in that font and that color, and there's a little arrow, blah, 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 blah. Yep. So then you can do it, people. Because it wouldn't take much once you've got that to say, you know, like I say, developer will say, yep, can build that really cheap. And then you're much more likely to be able to get your loan from the bank or your loan from your friend or whatever, because you've got it defined. You don't have a sort of, hopefully it costs this much. You've been quoted something. You've got it there. So, yeah, so that's pretty quick lesson, guys, isn't it? I'm taking you, bang, pretty quickly from, and don't forget, go and find this on Planet Audio update, download it again. But yeah, so get your ideas, starting to write them, okay? Make it a part of our culture, guys, so we all have our Kiwi books that we're writing down, all the things we can improve, and so even if you don't come up with an idea on how to improve it, just start looking for opportunities to say, well, you know, every time at night, there's a boy racer outside my street, and it's really annoying me and the neighbours. Instead of getting angry, start, you know, okay, well, start writing that down. All right, well, it's at 9 o'clock every night, and it's you know, this kind of car and this kind of demographic. Probably wouldn't be long before you can go, hey, I could probably make an iPhone app that, or some sort of system where I put up, a GPS jammer so that the people can never find your street or something. Like, there's always a solution, but you first got to define that bloody problem. So write it down, and then you'll start to see, oh my gosh, there is often a, believe it or not, technology is pretty crazy what you can do with it. So that's, so that's pretty much it. Now, I have to come back to my next show, how to turn it into money. So isn't that fun? But so write down all your ideas. Please, doesn't matter how dumb they are. Get used to it. You'll start seeing more ideas, opportunities. Number two is start researching how to do your idea in the most silly ways you can think on Google. You don't have to come up with a logical, how do I develop my network protocol stack? No, you can just go, what is network, you know, and then go from there. But then once you've done that, like I say, compartmentalize them, your app, get into some meetup groups, try to get into some nerdy circles, find a mentor. New Zealand's got a lot of them. And then all of a sudden, you'll be amazed that once you've got your blueprints, you're now probably third of the way there, which is, of course, a long way. Okay, so that's lesson. Now, quickly, just before, I know it's a bit offbeat than my normal show, but it's relevant right now. There's a lot of people being made redundant. A lot of people, you know, they had an income from a source that's dried up. So the second thing is if you, I believe, you know, the best innovation is software, because it's on a computer, you know. It's easy to, it's sort of under your fingertips. But if you're more bold and you're, you know, you're sort of, like I say, our farmers are really innovative. They're always coming up with things. And so, you know, if you're listening, look, here's something really interesting about electronics in this day and age. And this is really fun, and this isn't unfortunately taught in New Zealand at all. I'm pretty disappointed that it's not, okay? We are taught a little bit of software development, but electronics now have become compartmentalized somewhat. Similar to what I talked about, the app, the software, electronics now are compartmentalized. So you now can almost get bits that do a function, like Lego, put them all together and you've got a new product. Within reason. So the first thing to realize when you're coming up with an electronic device is, again, Google just before, but there's two things. One is most people believe that analog electronics is sort of, well, more easy. And I won't even get into analog electronics now. It's probably harder, really. But let's get into the digital electronics, where people are often more timid to go. But digital electronics now, if you're even thinking about making a product, service, solution, new widget in some sort of, you know, little device, go down to JK Electronics or go on the internet and get yourself an Arduino. Buy yourself an Arduino. You can get them for $10. In fact, I've seen them for $3, I believe, but realistically, they're going to be $10 or $15 just for the Arduino. Get the whole kit, maybe $60. An Arduino now is open source electronics. It is Lego of electronics. So this is where real innovation can happen in New Zealand. So cheap. Buy yourself an Arduino. Get the manual. There's nothing now almost you can't do with an Arduino for any use. You could measure your feed for your stocks of your animals, or you could work out when the boy race is coming by the sound vibration that's coming through the air off the street, and send out equivalent 180 changed phase through some speakers to stop the sound. An Arduino is effectively a little microprocessor brain that has products that can plug into them. And this will liberate us if we want to get into the hardware innovation. If we all learn how an Arduino growing up, it's plug and play of electronics. There's nothing you can't make with them. And this basically, I'm really rushing a lot on here, but basically what you have in this sort of paradigm of a digital circuits now is you have what's called inputs, you have logic, and you have output. So in other words, your electronic device goes, oh, I've got a question or everything that's coming in, blah, 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 water, temperature, height, value, pitch, control, moisture, temperature, UV radiation, any input, and then processor gets some logic, and then it spits it out. All right, guys, so yeah, a lot going in, but don't be timid of writing down your ideas. Just start with the dumbest one. Please don't wait till you've got a good idea to write it down. Start with something. You'll get into the habit. It'll become part of your culture. It's really fun. I really think it'll be good for the country. I think we're brave enough as a country now to start putting, you know, intellectual endeavors as part of our psyche. You know, we're the best in the world at sport, and now we can be the best in the world at intellectual property. And then that's where we're going to go. And so, write your ideas, keep them in your book. Don't be ashamed of any of them. Start sharing them at meetup groups. And be patient. A couple of years later, maybe a year later, you will be in an opportunity to make them happen. And then next show, I will tell you how to make money out of it. Because that is a problem in itself. And ideas don't naturally make money. Too many people learn that the hard way. Okay, kids. So bit of an offbeat from a topic. But, you know, it's more interesting in a way than, you know, just what Apple's doing. Start getting the ideas down. Start being brave. Start Googling. Don't use the internet for silly things that we do. Start using it to fill your brain up with knowledge, people. That's what it was designed for. And if Spark cared about us, they would be promoting that. But anyway, take care, folks. And I will be leaving you guys pretty soon. I didn't get any emails last week for questions, but again, hello@update.chat or update.chat, and you can send me questions you got. And once COVID's finished, I'll get back into sort of a more steady flow of subject every week. But yeah, tell your friends, tune on in. Okay, folks. So, countdown here. All right, have a good day.